We're in week three of our series called God on the Move. And Anthony started us off the last 2 weeks, and he told us about how God is on the move in Africa, and that God is on the move here in America as well. And then this morning, it is my joy and privilege to be able to bring the message on how God is on the move through our missional efforts here at the church and in what we are involved in around the world. And so we had just gotten back from our mission trip to Jamaica last month, and Anthony said, "Hey, it's your turn to preach. What do you want to preach about?" And I was like, "I know exactly what I want to preach about." And that's not typically the way Emily works, but we had just gotten back from such a wonderful trip in Jamaica. I knew right away that the Lord had a good word for me to share, and that also I felt called to share what the Lord has been doing in my life for the past year, well, actually the past 2 years. And so the one thing that spoke to me both times that we went to Jamaica over the last 2 years is how freely our Jamaican friends worship and how faithful they are. And there is nothing holding them back from worshiping the Lord and proclaiming His greatness. Our Jamaican friends worship and pray with a boldness that can only come from the Holy Spirit. And that experience that I got to be a part of for the last 2 years was so encouraging and uplifting. I prayed for an opportunity to be able to share that with our congregation. And so to be able to share the full experience and to let you see the big picture of what's been going on for the last 2 years, we do kind of have to go on a little Emily story for a little bit. Y'all good for that? Y'all ready? You're comfortable? Amen. Let's do it. So in August of 2023, after 11 years of working with our 6th through 12th graders here at the church, I transitioned out of youth ministry. That was hard, but I knew that that was what the Lord was calling me to. And I took on a more expanded role. I took on missions for the whole church, and I also took on a few other new responsibilities as well. And through prayerful consideration and guidance from our mission committee that we have here at the church, we decided that Varasta First was ready to jump back into international missions. Our church has had a long history of missions to Nicaragua, the Philippines, the Bahamas, but it's been a while since we've had an international team go. And we thought it would be a great opportunity for our congregation to get the opportunity to go into all the world and serve. And so I've been on many, many international mission trips. I was excited to get a team together. I was excited to have the opportunity to lead my first international trip as the team leader. And we decided we were going to take a mission trip to Jamaica. It's a 2-hour plane ride. They speak English. We knew some of our mission partners already, and we were ready to go. And then my excitement was met with adversity. From the end of that August until right before we left, for Jamaica in June of 24, it was a whirlwind. We had Hurricane Idalia. A lot of us, we were very blessed and thankful we did not have damage that time, but our community was hurting. We were in a tough spot as a community. And then in my personal life, Chris and I both had job transitions. When I took my new job, he was still trying to get used to his new job from the year prior. So we had financial stress. We had family stress. We had new routines to get used to. We were raising a teenager and a toddler at the same time. It's okay. I don't advise it, but it's what we were doing. It's interesting, y'all. I could write a book. But lots of change and uncertainty during that time. And it was a difficult season of life. And at that time, I was doing more complaining and whining than I was praying or using my circumstances to grow me spiritually. And I let the stress get to me instead of giving it to the Lord. But regardless of the personal struggles that I was going through, there was still a team of four ready to go serve in Jamaica. And look, we made it. That was the Fantastic Four we called ourselves. But we made it, and in all the excitement and of the trip preparation, the driving, the flying, we met new mission partners. I had long forgotten, you know, that stressful road that led up until a couple days before we left. And then once I arrived, I felt calm and I felt at peace, and I had no more distractions from back home just pressing on me. I was there ready to serve, ready to listen, and I prayed that I would come home with a renewed heart and a renewed mind. So the next day was Sunday after we arrived. We went and we worshiped with our new mission partners at Jacob's Well Church. This is the church that we served in. Some of the people that went on the trip this year, they'll notice that it looks really different. They changed the layout of the church up in the past year. But the church service was beautiful. It was so moving and it was so powerful. And as we sat there, we prepared to take communion. The worship team began singing. And when they take communion, the worship team's not up in front leading worship. They're sitting in the pews and they are singing from the pews. And so it's just a really cool experience to just hear the song that's being played. But as they began to sing, the song was called Yeshua. I'd never heard this song before, but so I had to go look up. Yeshua is a Hebrew name for Jesus, and it means salvation or the Lord saves. And so the congregation was calling on the name of Jesus, lifting up his name and inviting the Holy Spirit to come into that place. And the song kind of goes, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Yeshua, Yeshua. There are a lot of versions on YouTube. Maybe select the 5 to 6 minute version. But the song was so powerful, I began crying. And I'm not a crier. And so, but it was the Holy Spirit moving. And so in that moment, the Holy Spirit was in the room and he was working in me. The Spirit was healing my heart. He was helping me let go of the hard and difficult months that I had just gone through, and that he had some reminders for me as well. And one thing is, this story is about me, but I know that we all go through something. We all go through seasons. We all go through hard times. These were just my hard times at the time. And we don't compare our hard times from one to the other. So this word that he gave me was not just for me, but it's for others that are experiencing a tough season as well. But he was reminding me that I cannot go through trials alone. We're not supposed to do this by ourselves. And we are to seek God first, and he will give us everything that we need. And we don't walk through this alone. And so I began to sing, and I prayed, and I repented, and I asked God to renew in me a clean heart. Lord, just a fresh start, a clean heart. And after the song and the service ended, I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me. And so this is a picture. We'll jump back one. If I there, nope, uh-oh, nope. Anyway, but there is a picture from Jamaica 2024 of our team that went in Jamaica full of, cool. Costa Rica's cool too. It's okay, but it's all right. We shared about that before. But on that team in Jamaica 2024, that mission trip was a success. There were four of us. It was kind of a scouting party to figure out just what the community was like. And we gained such wonderful mission partners. We bonded with the community around the church. We loved on the children in the preschool, and we felt called to return again. And so a few months after I returned from Jamaica, I was given the opportunity to travel to Costa Rica to participate in the mission days the Global Methodist Church was putting on during the first general conference. And so a lot of this never really got shared or talked about, and I'll explain to you why that happened in just a minute, but it was a short trip. One mission day we spent working at a local church in Alaluita, to help repair the roof. And if you notice, Emma, I don't know if you can see her, but Emma's up there on a roof. I did not get on the roof. That was her job to fix the roof. I stayed on the ground and I was the ladder lady. but we helped lay concrete barriers so the church would stop flooding every time it rained. And in just one day's work, we met new mission partners. We heard the pastor's vision for the church. We fixed almost the entire roof, and we left with new friendships formed and our hearts encouraged. And then our second mission day consisted of attending a Spirit and Truth conference back at the same church that we had just been working at. And it was so good to see our new mission friends again, and everything about that day was truly powerful. And we actually have a very similar Spirit and Truth conference lined up for our church and our community this coming January. And so I'm so excited that our congregation and our community will get to experience some of the same things that I got to experience in Costa Rica. But Costa Ricans and Americans formed groups and we prayed together. We went into town and we prayed for anyone that was willing to receive prayer. And many groups went out without a translator, but the language barrier did not stop the Holy Spirit from moving. There were so many special moments that day, but there was one moment that spoke to me as we began to worship. And the worship team began singing. Worship was in Spanish, it was not in English. But again, the Holy Spirit would not be stopped by a language barrier. And so I didn't know the first song, even though I do know a little bit of Spanish. I didn't know it, I wasn't able to sing along, and so I prayed. And then the second song began to pray, and it sounded really familiar, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And so as I continued to pray, a smile came over my face because I recognized I recognized the song this time, and I knew every single word of it, even though it was being sung in Spanish. They were singing Yeshua. It was the same song that played in Jamaica just a couple months before, and it was now being sang in Costa Rica. I had listened to that song almost every day since I returned home from Jamaica, because every time I heard it, it reminded me of how God was working in my life. And when we go through tough seasons, He is always there. We call on Him. And so as the Costa Ricans sang Yeshua in Spanish, I joined in and sang in English, and it made me think that that was just a small glimpse of what heaven would look like one day. Many languages all joyfully worshiping God together. And so I only spent a few days in Costa Rica, but it was enough to experience God on the move there. And again, I came home with a renewed spirit and a grateful heart. So I returned home from Costa Rica on Tuesday, September 24th. And as many of you remember, Thursday, September 26th was the day Hurricane Helene hit our community. And so I remember we had a church night supper that Wednesday, right in between. And we knew that storm was coming at that point. And we all gathered in the fellowship hall in a circle and we prayed. And the next Thursday, overnight, a tree fell in our living room. We were in the bathroom and the tree came in the living room. And it's probably one of the toughest things I've had to go through as an adult. And we were out of our house for almost 6 months. And then during that time, two of Chris's close family members passed away. One was maybe expected, but the other one was not. She was my age. Our dog died. And numerous other events just made it a tough season, and it did not seem to end. I'm not going to bore you with the lineage of things that went on, because some of them were just comical at a certain point. But I'm glad I came home from Costa Rica renewed, because thanks to Helene and all of those circumstances, the next 10 months were just a constant, like one thing after the next. And this season was harder than the previous one. I thought we were done. Did I say that? Maybe I shouldn't have said it. I might have said it, but this one was harder than the other one. And so with every new circumstance that was thrown our way, this time was a little different, because this time I stayed calm. Whoa, I stayed calm. And every time I said, Lord, we need you to get through this. Lord, help us get through this. And so I did not take it in my own power anymore, because at that point, I was not in control. It was just one thing after the next. And then as things kept coming and coming, my demeanor changed a little bit, but I said, Lord, what is going on? This is getting ridiculous. But again, I wasn't questioning what God was up to, but I did have a lot of questions, and it's okay to ask God questions. So from September of 24 until right up when we left for Jamaica, we were under just as much stress, if not more, than we were the year before. And the difference between this season and the one prior is that I immediately relinquished all control and I gave it to God. So instead of trying to get through it in my own power, I gave it to God and I trusted His timing and His will. And I didn't understand it at all, but I trusted it was all for a purpose that wasn't necessarily for me to understand yet. And the verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it's in right there, verses 16 and 18. This is what just was on repeat in my head. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And I just kept playing that over and over in my head. And then check out this wonderful Jamaica team from 2025. So during that time, we also brought together our second Jamaica team. And this time there were 11 of us that went. And maybe everything that was going on, all of those distractions for the year leading up to that trip, maybe it was just trying to take away from how awesome that trip was or trying to distract us. But that didn't happen because God is on the move in Jamaica. And this past trip was so powerful. It was full of prayer and encouragement, hard work, relationship building, worshiping, and spiritual growth. And as we were coming home from Jamaica last month, the verse "where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom" kept running through my head, because that is what we had just experienced for the past 6 months. We were not there for 6 months. That's what we had experienced for the last 6 days. And so I knew that that was going to be the scripture I would use if I had a chance to share. And so let's take a look at that scripture that Kenji just read for us early. And we're going to back up to verse 12. I really love verse 17 and 18, but we want to back up just a little bit to give it some context. And so in verse 12, Paul says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope..." Well, what is the hope that Paul's talking about? Paul's talking about the hope that we have in Jesus. And then in verse 13, Paul goes on to reference the old covenant to the Corinthians because that was something that they were familiar with. He was trying to get them to understand. Verse 13, "We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away." And so a great reference point for this is to jump back to Exodus chapter 34, when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets. And if we look at verse 30, "When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were all afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave him all the commandments that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face." And then as we find out in a couple verses later, that since Moses' glowing face scared the people, we know he had to hide it and he had to put that veil over it. But anytime he went back in to speak with God, he would lift it back up and he would be he would have his face uncovered. And so if we jump back to 2 Corinthians verse 14, "Their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil," the one we just talked about, "remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts." And so even though the old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant, and that's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we still have a tendency to have old covenant thinking. And we focus on following the rules. Of guilt and shame, striving and failing. And we focus on outward actions rather than an inner transformation. And then we keep going to verse 16. "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." As believers, we live an unveiled life. But what does that mean? So unveiled, it signifies a removal of a barrier or a revelation of truth, knowledge, or divine presence. And then spiritual veils are used metaphorically to describe the separation between God and humanity, as well as the revelation of God's glory and truth. So Moses had a physical veil to cover his shining face, but our veil is spiritual. And so our key point that we can learn from verses 12 through 16 is nothing is holding us back from God's glory and presence. Nothing. And the only thing that can hold us back at times is ourselves. That's it. And so during that first season of hardships, I was so focused on myself, my problems, my circumstances, that I was the only one holding myself back from fully embracing God's glory and presence. So we move on to my favorite verses, 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we know now what it means to have an unveiled face, but what does it mean to be transformed? I'm not going to stand up here and just talk to you guys and then just be like, "You guys got it. Go, you're good." I'm going to give you some action steps. We're going to learn how to walk it out and see what that looks like together. But being transformed, it's reflecting the profound change that occurs in individuals who encountered God in his truth. And then the spiritual renewal of the process of sanctification, where believers are progressively conformed to the image of Christ. And so a key question that we can ask is, how can we live a transformed life? How do we do that? And it can be hard at first, because this first one, you have to have an open heart. So if your heart is closed off, or your heart is hardened, maybe by circumstances, maybe by just years of hard times, we have to soften our heart and we have to open it. And then we have to acknowledge that we need God's power and guidance. Y'all, we cannot do this alone, because I like to think so sometimes, but we cannot. It is not in our own power. And then we have to be humble, and we have to be willing to be shaped by the Holy Spirit. And then this is what the Holy Spirit does for us, because we're not alone on this journey. The Spirit is our guide and is our helper. And so the Holy Spirit renews our mind to align with God's thoughts and ways. He convicts us of sin and leads us towards truth. He transforms our character to reflect Jesus, and he produces spiritual fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it takes an action step. We have to do something. And so what we can do to be a part of that transformation process is we pray, we read scripture, we connect with other believers, we share in fellowship, we respond to the Lord's leading, and we step out in faith. Everyone that's been on these mission trips stepped out in faith, and they went. And then what transformation looks like? This is the good stuff. So, it is continuous spiritual growth. We live a life of purpose. We become more like Jesus. And others notice and ask why we're different. And so this is Jamaica 2025. There we go. I witnessed the Holy Spirit at work in Jamaica. I saw the Holy Spirit empower people to pray out loud that said to me earlier before we left, I don't feel comfortable to ever pray out loud in front of people. And I watched them pray with boldness out loud for people. I witnessed the power of prayer change lives, to embolden individuals to speak the gospel in front of people for the first time, and to pray with confidence over people that they had never even met before. And it was such a joy to watch my team members transform their likeness to be more like Jesus. And so God is on the move in Jamaica and Costa Rica, and we feel a calling to be a part of that. And so we're prayerful that we will get to send teams to serve in Jamaica and Costa Rica in 2026, so more can experience some of the great things that we have experienced over the last 2 years. And if you don't feel led or you're not able to serve internationally, you don't have to get on a plane or go to another country to be involved in missions or to serve. There are always local mission opportunities right here in our community. So one local ministry that is feeding our community right now is the Valdosta Street Feed. And during these hot summer months, they come and they pack in our fellowship hall right here at our church. And so people come from all over the community. It's not sponsored by one church or another, but they come together to feed those that need a fresh, healthy meal. And so the meals are packed here, and then they're taken out to the 76 gas station on East Hill Avenue, where we meet our local street friends, we pray over them, and we share a meal. So missions and service are a great way to deepen your relationship with God and to respond to the Holy Spirit's leading and His Holy Spirit's prompting in your life. And so what's the main thing that you can take with you today, and then you guys can chat about at lunch later? Here it is. The Holy Spirit brings freedom and transformation. Embrace a life guided by the Holy Spirit and live it out. And just don't live it out, but live it out boldly. And so this is what we have to look forward to when we accept Jesus. And if we have already accepted Jesus into our lives, this is what we should be living into. We are different. Others can see the power of God at work in us. And we can learn about it, we can talk about it, but our actions will be what transforms ourselves and those around us.